The Healthy Insights podcast features conversations with the leading minds in the field of health and well-being. Our hope is for you to gain insights, learn something new, and discover some valuable takeaways from our fascinating group of guests. Host Jim Narum is a respected leader with over 30 years of experience in the employee health and well-being field. The Healthy Insights podcast is brought to you by Asset Health, a comprehensive health and well-being services and technology provider. Asset Health's approach is based on actively cultivating the idea that your health is your most valuable asset.
Hello and welcome. Today's guest is Betsy Grahams, Executive Director of Cycle Health, the adventure arm of the YMCA of the North, based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Betsy and I both graduated with our Bachelor of Arts degrees from Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota. Betsy's undergraduate degree was not in physical education like me, but rather in English. During the first 10 years of her career, she was a high school English teacher in Minnesota. Betsy avoided any physical activity that involved getting sweaty for the first 25 years of her life. Then she started getting physically active. It started by simply walking regularly with a friend 3 days a week. Then she became a jogger, then a marathoner, then a triathlete, and now is an ultra marathoner, participating in events of 50K, 50 milers, and even a 100K race. As she started getting physically active herself while still teaching, Betsy started to notice a big difference between the kids she was teaching that were physically active as a way of life and the ones who weren't. She observed the active kids were more focused in class, more confident, and overall had a more positive view. Something clicked for her. Physical movement is medicine. And that's at the core of her work today. This led to her co-founding the nonprofit organization Cycle Health, that more recently has become the adventure arm of the YMCA, offering unique and creative outdoor physical activity adventure events year-round. Welcome, Betsy. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to talk to you today. I think the last time I saw you was February 20th. As a volunteer at your kid and family-powered winter adventure here in Minnesota, and I had I had met you a few years ago, but it was the first time I had volunteered at one of your events.
Well, thanks for having me today, Jim, and thanks again for volunteering at the Kidderod. We treasure our volunteers, and we hope that you have as good of a time as the participants doing the course.
Oh, I had a blast. There was so much fun and so much positive energy and smiles all around that it was really fun. And I've signed up for your second event, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But welcome.
Great, thank you again.
Can you explain, the Kidderod? What is that event? And talk a little bit about that for us.
We like to say that the Kidderod is just like the Iditarod, a dog sled race in Alaska, only different. And it's the difference that makes the difference. So the Kidderod was inspired by the Iditarod. We had the idea that what if we could teach kids and families about these husky dogs and how much they love winter and how much they love working outside in the winter, working toward a purpose of bringing their team and their musher to the next checkpoint and eventually to this finish line all the way across Alaska. And the Husky is really a role model for winter for us in so many ways. When our tendency is to want to hibernate and just ride it out, our long winters in Minnesota, the Huskies do the opposite. And we think that that visual of the cute husky dog in front of a kid and a family could inspire a love of what the winter has to offer. So the Kidderod itself is at a park in Maple Grove, Minnesota, and we create a 2-mile obstacle course that kids and families get to travel, and it tests their physical endurance for sure, but it also tests their mental resilience and their problem solving And the victory then is crossing the finish line, hopefully feeling like $1 million. And also hopefully that kids and families will continue to adventure outside in any season, in any weather, because we like to say there's no bad weather, only bad clothing.
I like that too. So basically, the Kidderod, it started out, you know, there's a sliding hill, and then they run up a hill and down around, and they go through lots of different obstacles, through things, around things, running across a lake. And this year, on February 20th and 21st, the weather was absolutely perfect for Minnesota. It was in the mid-20s, but the week before was a little bit iffy, which for you and your team that organized it, had to be a little bit, questioning.
Yes. And being in this business, in this organization for as long as I have, for as many years as we've been putting on events, we've almost done events in any weather, there are a couple, tornadoes would be an exception.
Don't do it.
Right. And what you're referencing is bone-chilling cold that happened mid-February here in Minneapolis. And yeah, it might have been right on the edge for us where we'd have to adapt. But you know, people think of, well, it's raining, I can't go for a walk or I can't go for a run. And we want to say, let's challenge that thought, right? Or it's snowing or it's windy or it's hot or it's cold. And our brains say no long before our bodies would need to. And so we want to challenge that idea that weather should be a factor within safety reason, of course.
Of course, of course. So tell us about the other unique kid-powered, actually it's kids and families, which I think it started out with kids, but now is really expanded to kids along with families for most of your outdoor adventures. So tell us about some of the other activities and events that you've got during the year.
Well, you're right. We started out as just adventure racing for kids and believing that that was our future and our destiny. But sometimes the marketplace tells you who you are. And we had enough kids and families say, couldn't we do this together? Or couldn't grandpa do it with us? Or couldn't our Uncle Joe do it with us? That we thought, well, let's experiment with that. Let's try family hour racing at one of our events and see. And it sold out. That family hour experiment sold out so fast that we said, then maybe the marketplace is onto something that we hadn't thought of, which is that there are very few opportunities for intergenerational adventure. So there are kids events and there's adult events, and sometimes you have an adult event that will tag on a kids mini event. And but we can learn so much from each other across generations, and if we can solve problems together and grow in resilience together, and sometimes we have three generations of families racing together, which is something I never would have imagined in my mind's eye, except for the feedback. And we try to listen to the feedback and go in that direction, because we think it speaks to need in community and how much separating by age, which is what we do with almost everything in our culture, doesn't necessarily turn out with the best outcomes, right? We need each other across generations. So this is just one drop in the bucket that we hope will have a ripple effect where generations can adventure together.
Yeah. So you did the Kidderod in February.
Yeah.
In June, you have an event called For Everest. In August, you've got a breakaway kids try. And then in October, you've got the Resilienator.
That's right.
So tell us about those.
So, yep. So you just named our current adventure race series, and we're part of the YMCA of the North. We're the adventure arm of the YMCA of the North, which is right here in the Twin Cities. And we aim to be every family's partner in preparing their kids with the tools and the confidence that they need to live adventurously. And so part of how we do that are these large scale adventure races, one in every season, because we want to show off what Minnesota seasons have to offer. And they each have a different theme and a different vibe and a different personality, but each one has a finish line and each one is off road. So we do things in the woods and on the trails. We believe in the power of nature to heal and to inspire. And so you're right. The next one up in June is the is for Everest. So that's just like climbing Mount Everest, only different. And that's at Highland Hills Ski Area in Bloomington, which is not a ski area in the summer. It's these beautiful hills that we create a course that mimics in a Minnesota way what it takes to climb Mount Everest. And along the way, as you're doing the hill repeats, we have micro experiences of what you might find in that area of the world, in the Everest area of the world. And we teach about the Sherpa people and the environment and the nutrition that you'd need to take on such a feat as Everest. And then, of course, there's the summit climb with the recognition at the end. But really want kids and families to start to imagine what it takes to set a big goal in life. And then to chip away by growing physically, mentally, spiritually toward that goal and what it feels like at the moment of achievement, the moment of attainment. Because believe that one experience like that can open up a person's world to things that they never would have dreamed of for themselves. And then the breakaway kids try, that's a swim, bike, run obstacle. Think of the Ironman, but more of a kid and family size experience. And then you're right, the fall is the Resilinator, and that's a buddy race. The buddies are tethered together. They have to hold on to this tether or else they get sent back. And it's 2.5 miles, and there are 20 challenges that buddies encounter, and they've got to figure out each challenge together in order to advance. And it's built to be a little frustrating and a little bit unfair at times in a friendly way. Who maybe the pair behind you figures out the challenge first, and they end up finishing before you, even though you started before them. And we want to build this idea that, yeah, and that's what you're going to find in life sometimes, that fairness isn't always possible. And so how do you persevere even through adversity? So the Adventure Race series is our biggest sort of program in what we do at the Y. But always looking for ways to introduce kids and families to adventure in nature.
I think one of the things that I'm so captured by is the fact that you're focusing on creating adventures as a strategy for well-being for kids and families to get people moving and active, but also in a very challenging fashion. And so, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you for calling that out. That adventure is, we found that it's a universal aspiration that nearly every human soul is bent toward wanting an adventure in their life, to try something new that they're not sure about the outcome, but that so many of us get stuck in same and in sedentary and in not trying a new thing for any number of reasons. And we're seeing alarming spikes in anxiety in kids and chronic diseases that we never saw in kids, even before the pandemic. And now we worry about all the at-home pieces in the last year and how that's going to contribute to health challenges going forward. So at the core of it, we're a health intervention. But we wrap it all in fun and adventure and inspiration and experiences that can change a person's paradigm that they have for themselves.
Yeah. You and I both attended the same undergraduate college, Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota. But you I graduated with a degree in physical education and health and have kind of been in that field ever since. You didn't start out with that as a focus. And in fact, you were.
No.
So tell us about that and how you ended up where you are now.
No, at that time in my life, I considered myself allergic to sweat. Anything related. I avoided I avoided. I took the path of least resistance in FIED and in sports and really didn't believe I was an athlete. I think I had tried a couple teams early on in my life and sort of internalized a message of you don't belong here. And I don't really know if that was just my perception of things or if the sports I was trying really, maybe I wasn't cut out for them. But it just, exercise felt hard to me and painful and messy and sweaty. And I just wanted to avoid that. And so I studied English and education and became a teacher. later in my 20s, I had mind-blowing set of experiences that convinced me I actually wasn't allergic to sweat. And so maybe that's what you're getting at.
Well, I think the other thing in our earlier conversation that you said while, and you were a teacher for an English teacher for 10 years at the high school level. But then one of the things that you observed is that kids that were physically active as a way of life, and there was a difference between those that were not, and you know, which you know contributed to leading you to the path that you're in now.
Yeah, I'm sure that was it. You're right. I had that realization, but I think I only had that realization that the kids who were regularly physically active were more focused and more positive and more goal oriented in school than those who weren't. But I think I missed that for the first few years that I was a teacher because I wasn't aware in my own self what a difference physical activity made. But somewhere in the middle of my teaching career, I had a friend who wanted have more energy in life and have a routine in her life of physical activity. And she asked me to start walking with her 3 mornings a week. And I didn't want to do that, but I wanted to be a good friend and I wanted to get closer to this friend. And so I agreed to do it. And she was so motivated and determined that turned into me showing up for her 3 mornings a week. And after a few weeks, I started noticing that I feel better on the days that we've walked in the morning. And that was unexpected to me. And one day she asked if we could jog a block and then the next day a couple blocks. And it snowballed for me where I was sweating and not hating it. And I was running and actually wanting to run a little more to the point where we signed up for a marathon, which would have been at the tippy top bottom of my list of things that I could do in my life. But over time, I built a confidence and a love of being moving and being active. And that's what opened my eyes in my classroom to, oh my goodness, some of these kids have this in their life. And I'm at the end of my 20s and I'm just figuring out the benefits of moving. Some of these kids already know it and I can see a difference in them. And then others who either weren't in a sport or hadn't figured out, kind of like I had in high school, just hadn't figured it out, they struggle a little bit more to stay focused and just to sort of feel good in their own skin, and you can almost see it. And so that's what sort of sparked my idea, sort of adventure platform that now is owned by the YMCA.
Yeah. Well, and you, so you've gone from hating to sweat.
Yeah.
To you ran marathons, but now you even taken it, you know, personally beyond that. So you're an ultra marathon runner.
Yeah, because once you've gone 26, you might as well keep going. Really, and really, I tell people who are trying their hand at running that keep at it until you can run 3 miles without your lungs hurting, without your legs feeling like lead pipes. It's that 3 mile threshold that I'm not saying that's universal. That's just my observation that gets people past this sucks mode and into, oh my goodness, I'm seeing benefits from this. And once you can get over that threshold, and I think it's about 3 miles of running, then boy, so seeing the world on your feet, you see it differently than you do in your car. And I've always liked sort of the nature piece more than the road piece. And so when I heard that there were races on trails in forests and woods and parks, I knew I needed to try my hand at that. And the road marathoning was fun for a while. I did a bunch of those. But the woods were calling. And do you know that there are people running 100, 200, 250 mile races? I mean,
that's crazy. For me, that's crazy. but it's, you know, a lot of it is that adventure, that challenge of that you've kind of tapped into with Cycle Health, you know, times a few multipliers. But
yeah.
But the same concept.
It's the same concept. Yep. And as I've gotten more involved in the ultra marathon community and the trail running community, and you get to know people, and the culture is so chill and so friendly and so supportive. I've become more aware that there are a lot of people who are recovering from addiction, substance addiction in particular, who now run the trails. And somebody should research this, and maybe someone already has, but I find it fascinating that part of a recovery from an addiction that could spiral your life downward in many ways could yield to part of recovery being that you challenge your mind and your body in these amazing adventure races. I'm really inspired by that someone could change their spiral from downward to then upward. And it's probably some of the same tendencies that cause people to be addicted to substances that maybe also propel them to run 100 miles. Right. There's an extreme factor in it. I'm fascinated by that. But just the power of the brain to help the body overcome barriers. Our brains are way more powerful than we give them credit for.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some other key initiatives that Cycle Health is involved with. You know, and including working with local physicians and then developing and promoting youth leadership. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so early on when we formed Cycle Health as a nonprofit in 2015, we sat down with a group of pediatricians in town to ask them, what are you most concerned about in your patient population? What are you seeing? Where are the trends in kids and health? And it's a pretty dim time to be in the pediatric healthcare space, because a lot of the trends are moving in the wrong direction. Even like life expectancy, for the first time, this generation of kids has a shorter life expectancy than their parents. We've never seen that in the history of the country. And in some ways we have more resources than we need to attack problems, but in other ways, those resources are sometimes not distributed in the way that they need to be equitable. And in a lot of ways, your zip code defines your future for your health and your education. And so we're really motivated to help pediatricians to do their jobs better by helping them with these conversations that they're having almost daily with families that go something like, you guys have to figure out a way to get more active together, because here's where your health indicators are going for your kids. And it often is true for the parents. And so with our adventure race series, we developed with local pediatricians a form called the Sweat RX. And it's a prescription pad. And the doctor said that we could call it that. That they rip off the pad and they put the kid's name on it and they give them a Sweat RX, and it's an invitation to come and do our adventures. And what they said that it gave to them was a concrete tool to help them have the same conversations that they've been having, but without a concrete tool. So if families knew how to do better, they would be doing better. It's not a lack of will. It's just a lack of how do we do that for a lot of families, and that there are barriers to do so. And so we have these dates on the calendar of our events and experiences that are safe and equitable and fun for all. And we have the ability to break down barriers of transportation and entry fee scholarships and helmets for our bike event and training. et cetera, et cetera. So the pediatricians knew if they would refer families to us that we wouldn't just let the family drop off, that we would help them through whatever barriers that, they face. So that SweaterX started in one clinic, and it's now in more than 50
Wow.
in the Minneapolis area, including big clinics and small independents. And it seems to be just sort of universally among pediatricians seen as, oh, this would be helpful. This isn't one more thing to do. This is actually a helpful tool in our practice.
That's awesome. And then talk about your initiative to develop youth leaders within Cycle Health as another really key initiative. I know when I was a volunteer for the Kinderrod, you really had youth leaders kind of facilitate the volunteer orientation, and I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for picking up on that. We don't make a move without vetting that move through any number of kids who are involved in our program. From an intern level or a local ambassador level, sometimes they're getting their teams involved, sometimes they're getting in their school involved. They're picking the swag that we offer at events. They're picking, how does the marketing feel to you? Does this feel cool to kids? And then at the events themselves, they take key leadership roles. And as you notice, the volunteer coordinators are kids. They're high school kids.
Yeah.
The course directors are kids.
Yeah.
Kids have this capacity to own and to lead and have their special DNA put on things that if expectations are set kind of clearly and they're put in positions where they can succeed, they almost always blow away what we thought would happen. And the adults are often really dazzled to see that they're being a little bit bossed around at the events by these high school kids. And they kind of like it.
I followed their lead. So
yeah.
I followed their instructions. Like, okay.
Yeah, because they're
what
confident.
I need to do. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. you have some other, in particular, a co-founder individual that was that's been with you from the very beginning in terms of the founding of Cycle Health as a nonprofit and still today. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yep. So his name is Tony Schiller, and he's the most decorated triathlete in the state of Minnesota in the history of the state. He's a 7-time world champion triathlete. I believe he's won overall more than 50 triathlons in his life. He was an All-American runner in college and was on the Olympic trial team for the marathon. But as a kid, he wanted more than anything to be an athlete, mostly to make his dad proud. He was one of 11 kids, and they needed to do something to get parents' attention. And he knew his dad really valued sports and athletics, and so Tony tried to be an athlete. And he was cut from 7 different teams.
Oh, wow.
Just didn't have that hand-eye coordination that you often need for the stick and ball sports. And that tends to be what we funnel kids into when they're young. And gosh, we just believe that maybe up to half of us are wired for the silent sport, the more endurance individual sports, and those don't tend to be the opportunities that are available for kids until later. But anyway, a family friend, when Tony had kind of given up on the idea of being an athlete when he was in high school, because he was cut for the 7th time, and academically he was struggling and just paying attention in school, he was struggling, and a lot of his friends were on teams. And so there was social separation too, because you just know if a kid is on a team that they're busy a lot, they're at practice and they're at games, and he wasn't on a team. And he had a neighbor, a man, who noticed that he just seemed to be languishing. And this neighbor man knocked on Tony's door on a Saturday morning and said, "I'm going for a jog and I want you to join me." And this man had 8 of his own kids, and Tony's family had 11. And so just think about this, the courage it took for that man to step out of his own comfort zone, I'm sure, and his own busy life, a knock on the door of this 15-year-old kid who was probably going to think he's a dork for asking, right? But he did it anyway. And that changed Tony's trajectory. This man named Frank, they went to the track and they ran a mile. And Frank said, I think you should try out for the track team. And Tony said, I'm done. I'm done with teams. And he's like, no, they don't cut kids on the track team. And so he did. That one moment with Frank gave him the confidence to say, okay, I'll try this one more thing. And that one more thing gave him a sense of belonging, which you first need in order to stick with something. And that sense of belonging made Tony stick with practices. And he wasn't very good for a long time, but he got a base of cardio and strength. And from that base, he tapped into a natural gift of his, which is to be really fast. He's really fast. He's in his 60s now, and he's still a contender for triathlon world championships. Won his last one just a few years ago. And he's just a really gifted athlete who almost didn't discover that. And so his life motivation has been to be like Frank, the man who knocked on his door and invited him for kids, because that was done for him. And it was a pivot point in his life, and an adult tapping a kid on the shoulder and saying, hey, I see something in you. And so that's his motivation, which has turned into kind of pretty special connections over the years with a lot of kids who sort of follow him around, wanting to be close to him. And the events are his brainchild. He's wildly creative, and he creates events that he wishes would have been around when he was a kid.
Well, and based on your description of Tony's background and where he started, I had the opportunity a few years ago when I heard Tony speak and just his presence now, one of the most positive, energetic, people with energy that you would ever hear. And so and that's just been part of the reason that your organization and your along with your enthusiasm and positive energy as well has really contributed to its success.
Yeah. Thank you for calling that out. And Tony, he's in a lot of ways the heart and soul of the operation and the creative for sure. And they're just, people want to meet a world champion athlete for sure. But then once they meet him, they just sort of want to be in his orbit because he's really driven to be a transformational leader in the kids' adventure space. And he's doing that.
Yeah, that's great. So any suggestions for employers and communities that are interested in improving health and well-being of kids and families, any suggestions beyond the sphere that you have?
Yeah. So we'd like to get more involved in this space, in that a lot of people get their insurance their health insurance through their employer, right? And employers do a lot to try to motivate their employee base to take care of their own health. We think there's a big opportunity to branch into employee family well-being. The kids in a lot of ways drive the culture and the activity of families. And if a kid in a family is turned on to adventure, kids have this way of being instigators and getting what they want.
In a positive way.
Oh gosh. Yes. I mean, think of when we all realized about smoking and the dangers of smoking, and it was undeniable. When was this, the 80s or the 90s? It was like, okay, we can't just go on saying that this stuff is not very harmful. It is. And so there were all these programs to get adults to stop smoking, and very few of them worked, but there were really smart people who got a foothold into elementary schools and would do assemblies on the dangers of smoking, not because these kids were smoking, but because their parents and their grandparents were smoking. And these organizations taught kids a language to use at home that where they could say, I care about you, mom and dad, so much that I don't want anything bad to happen to you. I want you to stop smoking. And it worked because kids can appeal to our better nature, our better angels. And they can also be relentless in their pursuit of what they feel like is important. So you think of that with recycling, that often in families, it's the kids who are insisting because they care so much about the environment. And even with bike helmets, when kids are taught how they can protect your head, they often will insist their parents wear them. So I feel like if employers can engage the kids, and I mean, we can help with this, that you get the whole family then, right? And you're insuring the whole family anyway. So all their health matters. And that the employee is more than just that person. They have an ecosystem and people at home who need to be involved too.
Yeah, totally agree. So so what are the top three takeaways from this episode that you want listeners to remember?
Well, I guess individually, to just reconsider if you've put barriers on your own potential in what your brain and your body can do together, to rethink those barriers. Most of us are capable of more in the physical adventure space than we've allowed for in our head. And I'm but one example of that, of someone who believed that I wasn't meant to be an athlete. And now I'm always training for something. Haven't done 100-mile yet, but have done 100Ks and 50-milers. And it just was unthinkable. And sometimes we create our own paradigms and they're wrong. So that's one. And then second, I think to think of the whole family as a strategy for well-being, that we aren't people in isolation, that we're people in community, and that there's a special power of engaging people intergenerationally. And then I think third, too, that collaboration and that working across organizational lines is going to be really important, especially, I think, coming out of a pandemic where people are in pretty rough shape. Mentally and physically and spiritually, I think we're going to have a lot of ground to make up. And how can we partner together? So nonprofits and corporations and individuals to attack problems a little differently, think a little differently, and join forces in ways that we wouldn't have considered beforehand.
That's great. Thank you so much for being a guest today. I had so much fun. I have signed up to volunteer at the Four Everest event in June. So I'm looking forward to that, and appreciate all of your efforts to improve the health and well-being of kids and families.
Great, Jim. We appreciate that you're putting your time where your heart is. So thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app or player. We also encourage you to rate this podcast. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.